Okay, we'll begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the blessing which you've given us through your Holy Spirit by your inspired word. We pray that you guide us now as we meditate upon it and have your Holy Spirit open our hearts and make them receptive to it as only he can do. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming all those who are worshiping with us live by the speaker phones, which virtually is almost the whole congregation this morning, except for my wife and myself, and all those who will be receiving CDs of the sermons in the coming weeks. A service this morning is coming from our home here on the outskirts of beautiful Coon Valley, Wisconsin, and we'd like to invite all of you to open your Bibles with us here at Water of Life to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 9. I'm going to read the previous two verses to kind of get the context of it. So the reading right now will be from Hebrews 3, verses 7, 8, and then the text is verse 9. Verse 7, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." And now the text is verse 9. "When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years." So first of all, to kind of set the stage, while it is true that, as James tells us, God cannot be tempted with evil, it is just as true that God can be tempted by evil people. And this is exactly what happened out in the wilderness after the Lord God freed his people from Egyptian bondage. The waves of the Red Sea had hardly had time to settle over Pharaoh's horses and chariots before the tempting of God began. And it didn't let up. It lasted from the time the children of Israel left Egypt until the time they encamped on the banks of the Jordan River 40 years later. Moses gives a double witness to this sad tale. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7. "Remember and forget not how thou didst provoke the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord." And then in Deuteronomy 29, beginning at verse 2, "Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxed old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot." Flashback now, let's take a look at those 40 years. "When your fathers tempted me," the when is the day of temptation in the wilderness, and it covers the whole period of Israel's journey from the Red Sea to Canaan. 40 years. The history of Israel during this time is one of continual provocation against God, constantly tempting him. Now, we could wrap this section up in 2 minutes, mentioning to you where these sins occurred. But in order to get the whole context of this thing and the seriousness of it, I'm not only going to mention the places where these provocations occurred, but also read to you from Scripture the exact words that the Holy Spirit has given us. So a flashback now at the 40 years. Right after they got out of Egypt right after God made them a free people. Number one, in the wilderness of sin. And boy, if that wasn't aptly named, I don't know what was. In the wilderness of sin, they murmured against God for the lack of bread. And God gave them manna. The reading is from Exodus 16, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then verse 12. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out from the land of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Let me just give a little aside here. The Holy Spirit says the whole congregation of Israel murmured. Well, that's not exactly true if you want to be picky about it. You know that Joshua didn't murmur. You know that Caleb didn't murmur. But the Holy Spirit sometimes speaks in this way. We would say, talking about the whole congregation as a unit, but not looking at every specific person. Okay, so the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them, "Would God," now listen to what they said, "Would God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. Ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." And then verse 12, God speaks, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." So we see right away they were not willing to pay a price for their freedom. They would rather have been slaves down in Egypt than to be free under the Lord God. Number two, at Rephidim, they murmured because they didn't have any water. And they questioned whether the Lord God was with them. And then he gave them water from the rock. The event is recorded in Exodus 17, beginning at verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Okay, now you would have thought that maybe they would have learned a lesson from these two incidents. That the lesson that when we have a problem, God's going to solve it for us. Sadly, they did not. Number three, now we're in the wilderness of Sinai. And I'm trying to get these things in chronological order. Now comes the wilderness of Sinai. We're only a few months after they had left Egypt. This is happening right away. In the wilderness of Sinai, soon after receiving the law, what did they do? They made and worshiped the image of the golden calf. Exodus 19 tells us this in verse 1. In the third month, that's the third month after they had left Egypt. This didn't take long. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And now going to Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. He's gone. We don't even know where he is. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, listen to this, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Talk about hypocrisy. And they rose up early on the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This was a drunken brawl. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly. This didn't take long. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This is only 3 months after the crossing of the Red Sea. It didn't take long. Number four, now we go to Taberah. At Taberah, they murmured because they didn't have any flesh to eat, and quails were sent. But this was followed by a dreadful plague. Look at the context of it, Numbers 11, verses 1 through 6, and then 31 through 33. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. They are tempting God right, left, and in between. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. This mixed multitude was a bunch of people that had, they were hypocrites. They had snuck into the children of Israel's camp when they left Egypt. They're a mixed multitude, and they caused trouble all the way through the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We see them for the first time. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. They're following right along with these guys. And they said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? Now they started remembering the things. But they didn't remember when they worked with rigor under Pharaoh. They didn't remember the hard bondage. This is what they remembered. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Well, if they thought that was free, they're out of their minds. They were slaves down there. but their memory isn't working too well. But they remembered, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eye. The manna, other places, is called bread from heaven. It's a beautiful type of the word of God. And you see now what they're saying. We don't have any of the delicacies that we had down into Egypt when we were slaves under Pharaoh and the devil. Now all we've got is this manna, the word of God. That's all we've got. They're not willing to give up the good things of the world to have the word of God. That's what it amounts to. Remember Lot's wife. Now verse 31 and following. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp. And as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. They wanted meat. Now they've got it. Quail by the multitudes. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers of it. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. They still didn't learn their lesson. Number 5, now we go to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is located right on the edge of the Holy Land. God, in grace and love and mercy, his mercy endureth forever, brought them to the Holy Land and said, go in and take it. At Kadesh Barnea, they refused. They refused to go up and take possession of the land of promise. And this brought down on them the terrible sentence referred to in Psalm 95, which we've been looking at. The Holy Spirit quotes from this psalm. And after the sentence was pronounced, then presumptuously they attempted to do what they formerly had refused to do. Then they wanted to go in and take the land, and God wasn't with them, and they got beaten badly. We've got to read it. Numbers 13 beginning at 26, and then 14 beginning at 1. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron. Now this is at Kadesh Barnea. To all the congregation of the children of Israel, under the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them. These are the 12 spies that were sent into case the land, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They had grapes that were so heavy they had to put them on a pole, and 2 guys had to carry them. And they said unto him, and they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. You were right. This is a good land. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell on the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. This is only a few months after the miracle of the Red Sea. And now they're worried about this. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We can do this. God is going to give it to us. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. It's a terrible place. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, every one of them. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured, here's that word again, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. Now again, not to beat a dead horse, but the Holy Spirit says the whole congregation did this. Well, you know Caleb didn't. You know Joshua didn't. But he's speaking in generalities again. There's nothing wrong with that. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. Well, they had a captain, and that was a son of God, but they deposed him. Now they want another captain and go back to the devil. 37 years after this, we find them at Kadesh Barnea again, murmuring for lack of water and other things. And shortly after this, they complained about the lack of bread, even though they had manna in abundance, and they'd had it for 40 years. And they were punished by the plague of the fiery serpents. And at Shittim, their last station, they provoked the Lord by mingling with the impure idolatry of the Moabites. They started worshiping Moabite gods. And now I'm in Numbers chapter 20. I'm not going to read that. You can read that. We don't have time. But 21 verses 5 and 6. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore, yet he brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We can't stand it anymore. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. The thing that makes this almost incredible is, remember what God says here at the end. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. They saw these things for 40. These were not things that had been done in the distant past that they could only read about. They saw these things. They were eyewitnesses of these things for 40 years. And it didn't make a lickin' bit of difference. We see here another example of a truth which holds throughout all Scripture. And that is this. Some people do so much with so little. Like Rahab the harlot or Ruth the Moabitess. And other people do so little with so much, like the children of Israel. We have clear evidence here that no matter what miracles God does for people, it has no effect on their unbelieving heart whatsoever. The rich man down in hell had it all wrong. He said to Lazarus, I've got brothers that are living on the earth. Send Lazarus to them that he might testify. He said that to Abraham. Send Lazarus to them that he might testify about this place so that they don't come here. And Abraham said, well, you know, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They've got the heavenly manna. And the rich man said, no, that's not enough. But if somebody went to them from the dead, then they would believe. Moses said, no, they wouldn't. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, don't kid yourself. They wouldn't believe even if somebody came to them from the dead. And you've got proof of that with the children of Israel. For 40 years, they saw these things with their own eyes, and it didn't dent their hearts one single bit. This is an unspeakably solemn warning here that the Holy Spirit is giving to you and to me. Wherefore, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. That the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Well, you and I have so much more than they had. The promise has already been kept. The victory has already been won. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us the story of the Son of God when he was on this earth. And the miracles he did, and the parables that he told, and the preaching that he did, and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And sending his Holy Spirit. And in these last days, instead of speaking to us through the prophets, God has spoken to us in Son. What more could God do? What else is left? There's nothing. There's nothing left. This is the final thing. God speaking to us in Son. The Lord God put up with this rebellion of the children of Israel for 40 years. In Scripture, 40 is the number of probation and trial. But you know, there is an end to it. And finally, God's patience came to an end. And so we read this in Psalm 95. This is the solemn warning that the Holy Spirit is giving us in here in Hebrews chapter 3, according from Psalm 95. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation. And I said, it is a people that do err in their heart. Their mouths are speaking the right words, but their words are not, but their heart isn't right. And sometimes then their words weren't even right either. And they murmured. And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath. Now this is God taking an oath that they should not enter into my rest. They're not coming into the kingdom of glory. They're going into the fiery pit. And so the very, very serious warning, one more time. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, not said, but is still saying today, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. But I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. We'll close with a prayer. Holy Spirit, there is only one way. Only one way that we can have a true appreciation of the heavenly manna, the precious word which you have inspired to us, which is able to save our souls. there's only one way that we can turn from the glories and luxuries of this world and take up our cross and suffer with our Savior and follow Him as He said and be His disciple and finally enter into eternal glory. And the only one way that this can happen is if you, in your grace and love and mercy, through the power of His of your word, give us new hearts and bring us to our Savior. And we pray that for all of us here at Water of Life, You will give us a true love for Your word that the children of Israel did not have in the wilderness when they grew weary of the manna. And pray that we may meditate upon it by day and by night and search for it as for hidden treasure, and that You, in Your grace and love and mercy, will open our hearts, cause the word to become engrafted to save our souls, and bring us to the marriage altar at the last day, prepared by You through the power of Your word, as a perfect bride for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.